Hello, everybody, and welcome back into another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable season previews. I am your host, Matthew Zatora, and we are up to the Chicago Blackhawks in our preview shows here. And I am joined in, as always, on these roundtables, Connor Smith, Gail Kowchuk, and Brooke Laferno. How's everyone doing? I'll start with you, Connor. How's it going?
It's great. I was outside earlier today, and it's finally starting to feel like fall, and that means football season here in Chicago, but the Bears put up an absolute stinker of a game this weekend, so I'm ready to get into hockey mode, and I think the season starts 4 weeks from today. It's Tuesday, so, man, I'm so excited. I can hardly wait.
Yeah, it should be a fun season, I think, for the Blackhawks, and we'll talk about it, but Gail, how's it going?
Hi, ditto. Everything that Connor said, I'm ready to go. And Blackhawks might not be that good this year, but they're going to be entertaining, I think. So that's better than last year. Well, they were entertaining last year too. So.
And finally, Brooke, how's it going?
It's going good. Just like Connor said about the Bears, I'm glad we're doing this. I know we're recording on Tuesday and stuff, but I think I'm going to be telling our Blackhawk Twitter followers that we're going to have to start doing content on Monday and Tuesdays to kind of get over the Bears stink that they put up every Sunday. It's just, yeah, but we're really excited. The Blackhawks posted Connor Bedard content, talking with Sidney Crosby at the NHL Media Tour, Seth Jones. I'm excited. I'm excited for everything.
Yes, it's going to be a fun season, I think. And you got rookie tournaments starting this week. We got preseason in like, what, 2 weeks? So lots of stuff happening, lots of hockey going to be coming up. So let's get started though with the Chicago Blackhawks preview here. And everyone knows what happened with the Blackhawks last season. They weren't that good. Ended up having some stretches where they looked like a good team, had some individual performances that maybe were surprising. Of course, traded a few guys away, but they did end up drafting the best prospect and probably since Connor McDavid and Connor Bedard. And we did talk about him quite a bit on the last round table, but he's going to be the headliner throughout the whole season. Mm-hmm. He's going to be arguably the best player on the team throughout. At least everyone's hoping he is. But yeah, it's going to be fun to watch him all season and potentially win the Calder. Who knows? We got so many different prospects that could potentially win it this season, but he's going to be the front runner. But let's start with the forwards and talking about their group this season. And we'll start with some of the new additions. We'll start with Taylor Hall, who's probably in outside of Bedard, is probably the bigger addition. Connor, what do you think about Taylor Hall being added to this team? Was he added just to be a mentor to Bedard, or is there something else here?
I think there could be something else here because you see what he's done the last few seasons in Boston and has kind of flown under the radar just because that Bruins team, I mean, obviously they lost Bergeron and Krejci, but they've just been so stacked these last few seasons. So I'm thinking he'll probably play with Connor Bedard on that first line, and it's going to be really fun to watch because he's obviously a former number one overall pick. So like many people have said, he can relate to his experiences being in those shoes. And I know some people may view it as, oh, they're just kind of taking on his cap hit, but he is still a really effective player. And he's not only a former number one overall pick, but won the Hart Trophy, of course, back in 2018 with the Devils and has a lot to offer, I think. So he's someone I'm very excited to see. And I think he'll mesh really well with Bedard.
Mm-hmm. He is still one of the better forwards in the NHL. He's not like that Hart Trophy guy anymore, but he's still a very solid contributor to a lineup. So I think he's going to be really good too. Gail, moving to another addition, Corey Perry. This is another guy that, maybe was a little bit surprised they acquired him, but he's 38 years old. He still seems like he's 25, it seems like. He still can contribute to a lineup just like Hall, but he's a lot older. What do you think Perry will bring to the Blackhawks this season?
Well, I think it's funny because it's going to take a lot, I think, for Blackhawks fans to get over the Corey Perry hate from the history with him and the Ducks. And but I honestly do think that he does have something to add. I think fans are going to like his work ethic and his tenaciousness. I think that probably he'll be a good leader in the locker room. And you know what? It's amazing to me that he's still, you know, going on different teams. He still has decent production.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got goals and assists, and he really knows how to contribute and how to get to the right spots. So it's going to be interesting. We should make some bets as to when we get to the, you know, the balance of the fan base hating him to, oh, hey, to cut, or, you know, Corey Perry.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that you don't like it when you play against him. When he's on your team, you love him because he is a very good, you know, he's not the 50 goal scorer anymore, obviously, but he's still he can still score. He can still be a very good forward in the bottom six. That's where he's kind of played in Tampa. He's maybe jumped into the top six times, but he's mostly that fourth line guy. He can still score double digits. So I'm excited to see what he can do in Chicago too. And finally, Brooke, Nick Foligno, another guy that I don't know if anyone expected him to re-sign or that they keep him, that maybe he was just a throw-in in that trade with Paul, but he's here. And, you know, $4 million is still quite a bit, but what do you think Foligno will bring?
Something that stands out to me about Foligno is, I think Connor and Gail know what I'm going to say here, is that it seems like the common message amongst the players, even on the Blackhawks right now, is that he's just the greatest guy ever. I think Connor Bedard had mentioned that that Foligno calls and checks on him, you know, every couple weeks or every few days or something like that. But he checks in frequently. And Seth Jones, I know that Nick Foligno was his captain in Columbus, and he talked about what a great leader and great guy he is in the locker room. So, and on the ice, the fact that he had 27 points last year, I know Boston's a great team, but he's an older guy, and the fact that he's still putting up those points, that was better than half of the Blackhawks roster last year. So you know what? He's kind of like Corey Perry. He's still, you know, got a lot left in the tank. So I think he will be – I'm excited, actually, about him a lot. I think he'll be a really good leader, a really good veteran presence, and I think he'll bring a lot of juice too, like Corey Perry. So I think he'll be fun to watch. I'm excited to see what he can bring to this team.
Yeah, lots of veteran guys they brought in. And, you know, Connor, for the last guy that they brought in, Ryan Donato, and this is, he's on the younger side, 27, coming over from the Seattle Kraken. What do you think he'll bring? Is he going to be a bigger contributor than, say, the, you know, Foligno or Perry?
Donato is a really interesting player to me because you look at his career and he had some of his early days with like Boston and Minnesota and San Jose. He's kind of been around the block. And I know he was once highly regarded as, hey, maybe he can be a top six forward, and hasn't really blossomed out that much, is more so a middle six forward. But I think the big thing that stands out to me about Ryan Donato is he's coming from the Seattle Kraken, and they had a really nice playoff run last spring. They made it to the second round, and that seems to be a theme of guys the Hawks are getting. You want those guys in from winning environments to help mentor someone like Connor Bedard and the other young prospects and pieces that they have. So I think Donato is obviously very versatile. I could see him slotting anywhere in from that second line center role to maybe more of a reduced role, but he ultimately adds a lot of really good depth. He put up 27 points last year. So sort of in that same range as a guy like Nick Foligno and Corey Perry, but is also much younger. And I think he's going to be worth keeping an eye on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he could be a bigger part of this team than, you know, say like those two other veterans are probably going to be here only a year or two. He may be here for a little bit longer. Right. So we'll see what happens with him. All right. You know, talking about, they did add a lot of veterans. That means there's not a lot of room, I mean, on this roster for a lot of guys. Gail, where do you think these depth, like going to the depth forwards, will go with who will make the team of the depth forwards and who could be the odd man out? Because there isn't a lot of space here.
Yeah, so we just recently did a roundtable and I went out on a limb a little bit for who I think is going to make the team. And I picked Cole Gutman. Mm-hmm. I just feel like he came in blind last season. He took over the second line center duties. No problem. Right. And he just jumped right in. 14 games played. He tallied 4 goals, six points, 52.1 faceoff percentage. And I think that that might be the thing that's going to get him over the edge. This was all with bum shoulder. Then he got pulled, shoulder surgery. He's healthy this year. The only thing is he's waivers exempt. So that could go against him. A lot of the other guys, would have to clear waivers. So that could go against him, but I don't know. I just really feel like he's going to kind of be that dark horse. I'm confident he's going to make the team. Could be completely wrong, but that's my kind of, my guess.
Do you see him being like fourth line, or does he get up higher in the lineup?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Cause right, he jumped in, he was playing in the top six. He was second line center. So I really could see him second, third line. It really just depends upon where everybody else slots in, whether, are you going to have Lucas Reichel playing center, or are you going to have him on the wing? Athanasiou played center last season at the end and actually did really well. So it'll be interesting to see what they do and how they slot everybody. Donato, I think, has some centering background too. Reese Johnson, chemistry, but I guess to pinpoint your question, probably second or third line center, I would believe, if he's going to slot in.
Yeah, we'll see what training camp. That's going to be something to watch. Definitely where everyone kind of goes, sure. Because there's a lot of new guys and a lot of guys that were still here from last season as well. All right, Brooke, same question. Where who's going to make the team? Who's not going to make the team out of this group?
Well, I think I said for our roundtable that Reese Johnson, I don't see him making the team. And I mean, that might be kind of a back and forth kind of debate, because he might make the team, but I don't think he's going to be an everyday player, if that makes sense. I didn't ever really see kind of the appeal to Reese Johnson, because he's a physical player and sometimes he has really good shifts, but overall he doesn't bring a lot of offense. He's always just kind of there. It's good for a fourth line role, but because of Donato and Perry and Foligno and Colin Blackwell, I just really don't kind of see him making it. And then speaking on that, the one person I thought would make it is Colin Blackwell. So he's another one that could be pushed out maybe by Cole Gutman, as Gail kind of talked about, because he impressed so much. And if he has a strong training camp and he's a young guy, and that might give him an edge. But Colin Blackwell, they committed to him. They gave him a 2-year contract. It is a contract year for him, but he's the veteran. He's 30. That kind of might take precedence a little bit. He might get kind of like the nod there. So I do think he will make the team for sure. I don't see how he doesn't. Again, might not be an everyday player, but maybe he will be. But that's one person I think will make it.
Yeah, like you said, that contract is something that they committed to him for more than just the 1 year. So we'll see where he goes. All right, finish it off with you, Connor. Where do you see these depth forwards slotting in? As who's making the team, who's not?
Yeah, I think it's funny because I'm with Brooke as far as who's making it and who's not. I think my odd guy out, I think Brooke said it, is Reese Johnson. I know he's just 24 years old. He has a few seasons under his belt. And like Brooke said, he is a very physical player. He did lead the team with 178 hits last year. But beyond that, I personally just didn't see much growth in him last season. And I just don't see much of a ceiling for myself personally beyond being a fourth liner and an extra forward. Seems like a great guy in the locker room, but I'm just not convinced he has much of an NHL ceiling beyond that. But then again, we're going to see a lot of roster battles come training camp and preseason. If he has a strong camp, maybe he could prove those doubters wrong. And he did do some nice work in that fourth line center role. But again, you bring in a lot of new guys like Foligno, Corey Perry. So time will tell in that regard. I think for my depth forward, and I really do like Gail's answer actually of Cole Gutman, because he came up from the AHL last year and had a really good stint. He did have to end his season short, but looked really well even in that second line center role. And I think he can mesh well with a guy like Foligno or Perry, just because he kind of has that grind to him. But I agree with Brooke. I think they're going to give Colin Blackwell a shot. He is here on a 2-year deal. So like Brooke said, they're obviously very committed to him. He is similar to a guy like Ryan Donato in that he comes from the Seattle Kraken and the Toronto Maple Leafs the season before that. So he does have some playoff experience. He's probably the most well-rounded of that group. And even with guys like Mackenzie Entwistle and Boris Tkachuk, who've shown really nice flashes, he does have a little bit more experience. So I think ultimately they will give Blackwell a fair shot, but then again, we still have 4 more weeks until that first game. Mm-hmm. So I think camp and preseason is going to dictate a lot.
Yeah, lots of storylines in the forward group, that's for sure. And the depth guys are going to be the ones. And even guys, like you said, could potentially get into that top six, because there's no real, like, I would say probably Bedard and Hull are the two for sure are guys that are going to be. I mean, nothing to say, you could probably say is a lock in the top six as well. But, you know, Lucas Reichel, where is he going to play? Is he going to play in the bottom six? Is he going to be put onto that? You know, top six could play with Bedard and Hall. I mean, that'd be a pretty fun line. So yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. All right, moving to defense. Speaking of storylines, there's quite a few in this one too, because there's a lot of spots that could potentially go to different guys. You know, Connor Murphy and Seth Jones are probably the only real locks in the top four. So I mean, we'll see where this. You know, we'll start with you, Gail. Where do you see this defense? I mean, there's lots of different moving parts. Kevin Korchinski's in that mix. You know, is probably their top prospect on defense. Where do you see this defense shaking out this season?
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really interesting storyline. I think the one thing that we can count on is, like you just said, there's only a couple really givens. And so there's a lot of spots open for the prospects, for the rookies, and they're going to get their shot this year, and they're going to have a chance to really prove themselves. So I don't think you mentioned yet, Alex Vlasic, Wyatt Kaiser, Isaac Phillips, and even like Philip Roos. I think that those are kind of your top four right there. You did mention Korchinski. You know, if he's got to have a really, really, really strong training camp, I think, to make the team. I could see him playing 9 games, but less than 10, so that they don't extend his contract or, yeah, definitely. I don't see Korchinski in the long haul. I see him going back, or maybe he'll come back again at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But for sure, I'm looking at like Vlasic and Kaiser. Those four that I just mentioned before that, I think we're going to see them get somewhere in the mix. It's between those four for those extra spots.
Yeah, for sure. I see Korchinski in that same realm. I think the 9 games for sure, unless he looks like so good that you can't send him down, then maybe, but we'll see. Brooke, what do you think about this defense? Korchinski being in that mix, who's gonna take those spots on this defense corps here?
Yeah, this defense scares me a little bit. I can't even lie. And I'm saying this very nicely because I'm excited about these prospects. I'm excited about Wyatt Kaiser, and I'm excited about Isaac Phillips and Philip Roos. I think they're really good prospects, but that's the problem. Everyone is just really green right now, and that's a good thing. Like I said, it's still a rebuild. There's no pressure for them to be superstars right out of the gate, but it was really bad last year, obviously. Their defense was, and I don't think it's going to be very good this year, but I think it'll be enough to get by, clearly. That's what they want, just enough to get by, let everyone develop and grow, and then, you know, continue to go from there. With Korchinski, this is where I think his development comes in, is that there's not a lot of competition on defense right now. Everyone's kind of, like I said, everyone's really green right now, right? Wyatt Kaiser's really green. Isaac Phillips has been kind of in and out the last couple years and stuff. So it's not like everyone is so, it's not like the Colorado Avalanche where their defense is pretty set and there's really no room unless someone gets injured. That's not the case with the Blackhawks. So I think it's honestly his spot to lose for now. And honestly, though, I only see him starting if he does make the team 9 games, like you guys were talking about. I don't see him being a full-time all-year player, but I do think he makes the team just for that reason. But overall, yeah, I'm a little scared of this defense, but it's enough to get by for now. It's okay. Well, it's okay. Better times are ahead. It's okay.
They do got some good prospects coming. So, yeah, they just got to wait for it. Connor, what do you think? Does Korchinski get those just the 9, or you see him being more of the season? What are your overall thoughts of this defense?
It's a tough call as far as Korchinski goes, because, again, I personally don't think he's going to be on the team long term. I could definitely see that 9-game tryout, like you all have said, because you have Connor Bedard around and this team is definitely more flashy and probably dynamic compared to last year, but it's still not that great at the end of the day. So I think, yeah, you can definitely go ahead and give him his tryout, and maybe if he does cruise along and exceed expectations, then you burn that first year of the deal. I mean, the conservative answer, I think, would be No, just because this is a different scouting group and a different regime than what we saw with guys like Kirby Doc and Adam Boquist, who didn't really pan out and are now with other organizations. They've obviously been very patient. And I think a good example of that is what we saw with Lucas Reichel last year. He probably could have been in the NHL from the jump, but they decided to send him back down. And that was, I think, a really good decision. So I could definitely see something like that happening with Korchinski. And as far as this defense goes, yeah, it's, I mean, you have guys like Alex Vlasic and Isaac Phillips and Wyatt Kaiser, even Philip Ruse, like Gail said, who maybe could be here long term, but we don't really know. So there's obviously a lot of questions right now. And I'm kind of surprised that they didn't make an addition during the offseason, just because that left side is very young. And while you have Connor Murphy and Seth Jones on that right side, they don't have a lot of right-handed defensemen throughout the organization. So maybe they do what we saw last year with getting a guy like Jared Tenorti, whether that's a PTO, a waiver claim, whatever the case may be. But yeah, it's going to be maybe not that great, but really interesting to watch and be like, okay, who's going to be here long term and who could be part of this next core?
For sure.
I think that's going to be part of the question. Questions are going to be answered throughout the season is who they want to build around. I mean, Seth Jones is obviously the big contract that he's here forever, it seems. But, you know, who's going to be with him throughout this. And I think Korchinski can definitely be part of that core, but I don't know how long it will be this season. You don't want to rush him. It's only 19. yeah, bro, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but that just made me think of when you just said Seth Jones will be here forever. Just for people that are watching this, so we do, like, we create graphics for our articles at thehockeywriters.com, and over the summer, I reached out to Matthew because I wanted to create a Blackhawks graphic for, like, 10 cool things about the Blackhawks, but problem is we had no clue who to include because we have no clue who's going to be on the team long term, so we were like, oh, okay, I guess we'll just make a graphic with Seth Jones on it. That's really all we know for now. That's really where we're at, but it turned out fine. I think Connor Bedard's a good lock for that, too, but it was just funny that you mentioned that because it's true, and I like Seth Jones. It was just funny how you mentioned that.
And I think that's another storyline to watch, right? You know, everybody complains that Seth Jones had such a horrible year last year. Well, his plus minus, or, you know, minus, what was he, Brooke, do you remember, 38 28? But I really do feel like with a little bit more chemistry with his defensive pairings, I just feel like he's going to have a better year this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 28. I mean, it's not like he's way out of his prime that he's, you know, he can't bounce back, because he did show, well, there's a reason they signed him to that $9.5 million AAV. Right. So, I mean, we'll see. Hopefully he can kind of live up to that, start to live up to that coming up here. Okay, moving to the goaltending, which also doesn't look very good. They didn't add anyone. They do have some prospects coming, but not yet. Peter Mrazek, still the starter. Arvid Soderblom, according to Cap Friendly, is the backup. You also got Jackson Staber in the mix. Drew Comesso, probably going to play in the AHL most of the season, you'd hope, because you don't really want to rush him into this. Gail, what do you think about the goaltending? Is it going to be tough to watch throughout this season, or do you see one of the young guys kind of taking over?
Yeah, Mrazek, it's just hard to feel confident in him because he's just had such injury issues, and you almost just expect it to happen to again. And I guess that's kind of a tough thing to say. I feel bad for saying that, but, you know, and so I see that Soderblom could easily, you know, I'm assuming they're going to want to have kind of a 50-50 tandem, but you could almost see Soderblom, you know, overtaking that and becoming the number one if he does well. But I could also see, like you had mentioned, Staber or Comesso be kind of being forced into service. Mm-hmm. And one of them might surprise us with finding some success this season.
Yeah. Connor, what do you think about the goaltending? Do you see one of the prospects coming up and taking over the job, or is this going to be a tandem of Soderblom and Mrazek most of the season?
Yeah, I think for me personally, the one who I'm going to be keeping an eye on is Soderblom, because Peter Mrazek, we know what he is. He's a fine goaltender, and he's perfectly capable of holding down the four and being in that short-term position, but like Gail said, he is a little injury prone, and it almost just kind of feels inevitable at this point. So with someone like Soderblom, on the other hand, we've seen him have some NHL action before, and he did look kind of shaky last year, but he really grew in the AHL and has a little more experience in that regard. So I'm really interested in him, and he is definitely going to be on my radar. And even with guys like Jackson Staber and Drew Commesso, even though they're probably going to be with Rockford, I mean, Staber came up last year, even though it was just, I think, for six games, but he looked absolutely phenomenal for just his lack of experience, and they're going to have a chance to grow. So for me, the big storyline is, okay, we know what Mrazek is. Can Soderblom become that number one if maybe he is suffering with injuries? So again, like the defense, I don't think it's going to be all that great, but it is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say there's the three youngsters are going to be interesting to watch, see where they kind of, if they take over Mrazek or not. Brooke, finishing it off, do you see Mrazek sticking out the season, though? Because he is 1 year contract. He's only 1 year. They could flip him at the deadline. Who knows for what? But he's still at that $3.8 million. I mean, I guess half of it's not too bad. But where do you see it? Do you see the season finishing with the young guys in net and not Mrazek?
Oh, I'm really glad it's September and we're getting into spooky season here, because this is really spooky, guys. Defense and goaltending, it's just real spooky right now. Okay, I guess bold prediction. I do think we're going to see, like, the end of the season, maybe Soderblom end up as kind of like the guy in net. And Peter Mrazek is just someone that, yeah, like you guys already covered that. Like, he kind of just seems like he is what he is. And it's kind of frustrating because sometimes he has performances where you're like, oh, he's finally putting it together. It always seems like he could be more than what he is, if that makes sense. But like Gail said, there's too many unknown variables there with kind of the injury thing, and maybe he does get flipped at the deadline. Personally, I don't see it, but you never know. But this is really Soderblom's time to shine. If he will get a lot of opportunities, I think, this season. So if he doesn't show it, then we'll know that he's just not the guy, but this is really his time. So I do think they'll end the season, when the Blackhawks end the season, he'll be the guy. Yeah, the youngsters will be taken over, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Mrazek was just a stopgap type guy anyway. I mean, they got him from the Maple Leafs for just basically a cap dump on their part. And that's why he's here. I mean, that's for the biggest reason, right? Yeah. But yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. That's going to be another interesting one to watch throughout the season too. Okay, now I'm going to pick one of you guys to answer this question, because it's probably going to be the same for all. But random, Connor, I'll ask you, where do they stack up in this division and conference? Are they still in the basement, or do you see a better season than this past one?
I think the easy answer would be that they're still in the basement, right? Because you look at it from a big picture, and they brought in Bedard. I mean, we all knew that all along. So that is phenomenal. But at the same time, I mean, you don't have Max Domi and Patrick Kane and Jake McCabe. And granted, I know they left at the deadline as opposed to the offseason, but it is, you still do lose some guys in that regard. So I think it's going to be really interesting, because for the last year, it was just kind of them in Arizona at the basement, but the Coyotes are still rebuilding. But having guys like Logan Cooley and Michelli, I mean, they're maybe a little bit further along in their rebuild. So I think it is going to be tough to finish, I mean, anything higher than seventh, maybe one of St. Louis or Nashville, who have kind of been fringe contenders, could collapse and fall back a little bit. I think I'll say this. I think they could finish as low as eighth and maybe league wide bottom three. I think they're sealing a best case scenario, because I have a lot of faith in Luke Richardson, and he didn't have a lot of talent last year, and he was just so good in that role. I could maybe a ceiling for them be a fringe wildcard team, but I think a more realistic expectation is another bottom five season, maybe seventh or eighth, but more growth and progress, because you have Bedard and a lot of young guys coming in.
If they do finish in the basement again, they they're going to get a really good defenseman at this coming draft, because defense, it's loaded with top end defensemen this season, this draft. So they got Bedard this year. They may end up being getting their top pairing defenseman in this one, next one. Yes, there's Macklin Celebrini first overall potential, but I don't think they should go. I mean, unless they get the first overall pick, then obviously pick him. But no, I think they should focus on defense in this draft for sure. I know Brookie wrote an article about them not tanking and moving forward. I think that's what they're going to probably, they're not going to focus on that. And I don't think they did last season either. They just ended up winning the lottery. I mean, they weren't last in the league. So we'll see how it all kind of goes. It's going to be exciting to watch regardless. It's just the talent level and the roster may not be enough to get out of the basement, but maybe surprise too. Okay, before we get to our quick fire, I do have one. Actually, I guess this is part of a quick fire too. So we'll start with the quick fire. This was part of the roundtable you guys did few days ago. Now, since they are entering a new era with Connor Bedard, they've kind of gone away with Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, and that era of Stanley Cups and all that. Start with you, Brooke. Should they change their goal song from the Chelsea Dagger? Because they've had that forever, had a lot of success with it. Personally, I think they should get rid of it because I don't like it. But that's because of the Canucks rivalry with the Blackhawks. For I heard it way too often. What do you think, Brooke? Should they change it?
I said no, and it might be like a nostalgia thing, or maybe even not. It's just more like, I always considered that the Chelsea Dagger is something that people know is Chicago. Like, obviously, you know very well, I'm sorry that it's traumatized in your brain, that it's very Chicago from that rivalry, but just people recognize it as such, and it's kind of like the Alan Parsons Project song that the Bulls play as their intro. Like, everyone knows that's the Bulls, and that was the Michael Jordan era, and Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman. People just kind of gravitate towards that, so I just said, some things are kind of too iconic to change. My other thing was the team has 99 problems. We've discussed a few of them already. I don't think the goal song should be the highest of their priorities. But I also saw that Danny Wirtz and Jamie Faulkner had mentioned that they're not going to change the goal song right now. So, but I know a lot of people have different opinions on this.
It's a big thing because it has been part of the Blackhawks for a long time, so for sure. Gail, do you agree? Should they not change it, or do you see that to being something that they could do?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think kind of wrote an article about how they should change it. I'm sorry, I'm kind of stealing your answer, but Brooke and I have been all for it. It's just iconic and it's catchy and we love it, and we just feel like it's part of the tradition. And Brooke did mention that we did just find out today, it was reported that they're keeping the goal song for now. So sorry, Matthew. Sorry, Connor.
So, Connor, you think they should change it. Do you have an idea of what you would change it to?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. And I actually saw the article, I think it was from NBC Sports Chicago right before this podcast, that Danny Wirtz and Jamie Faulkner said they're intending on keeping it. And look, I get it. It's iconic. It's one of those things that you're like, you think of Chicago sports, like not just the Blackhawks, and it's kind of embedded, ingrained in your brain. So like, I get the rationale. I was maybe just more so coming from, I like change sometimes, and we see Bedard coming in and guys like Korchinski and Oliver Moore and Frank Nazar, who hopefully will blossom in the next few years. I think change can be good sometimes. So that's kind of where I was coming from, is, hey, let's find something really new and really cool to associate with this next great core. And that can stay with the glory days of Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Marian Hossa. But they just came out today and said that they're keeping it. And if that's the decision, then yeah, so be it. I mean, it's kind of silly in the grand scheme of things, but you know what? Tradition is tradition at the end of the day, so I get it.
Guess I'm going to have to endure it for a lot longer.
Connor, I'll tell you what. When you wrote your article and I was reading it, it almost had me convinced. I was like, oh, that makes sense. And all of a sudden, sentimentality took over. And I was like, no.
It is a I think mostly it's because I just heard it way too often during the Canucks, Blackhawks. And so, yeah, but it's going to stay. So I guess I'll have to deal with it. All right. Let's move to the rest of our quick fire round here. And I'll start with you, Connor, at breakout stars. Now, you can't pick Connor Bedard because you probably will be. Who else do you see on this roster potentially breaking out this season?
Yeah, I think there's a couple guys who I wanted to highlight. I mean, I think an obvious choice would be Lucas Reichel. We only saw him, I think, in 23 games last season, but he scored at a 50-point pace. And obviously, we don't know who he's going to be playing with yet, but he's obviously, I think, bulked up a lot since he had that first showing 2 seasons ago. So he could be a guy to watch, along with another defenseman who I've mentioned before. It's Alex Vlasic. Mm-hmm. He's looked, I think, really good in the last 2 seasons when he's been up here toward the end. And now with a full season under his belt, I think he's going to be someone to watch and could be a really good stay-at-home top four or maybe bottom four, but someone who I think could jive really well on that left side with a guy like Seth Jones or Connor Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy too. He's 6'6", so he can definitely be that for sure. Gail, what do you think for a breakout star this season?
I'm glad, Connor, that you brought up defense, because a lot of times that gets lost in the shuffle. You know, everybody's always thinking forwards. That said, I'm going to mention 2 forwards. I already mentioned Cole Gutman, a breakout star, but right, I just really think he's going to make that impact. And for some reason, Anthony's time with the right line mates to make something happen.
Yeah, 2 great choices. And again, they could be playing with some really talented forwards too. Who knows who's going to play with Connor Bedard? There's not really any set one. Everyone's thinking it's Taylor Hall, but you don't know if the chemistry will be there, right? Brooke, what do you think about a breakout star?
Well, it's got to be Peter Mrazek, since it seems like we're all just really excited about him playing this year. We're all like, ooh. No, I'm kidding. Watch him, though. Watch him end up being the star of the season. But I'm going to go, again, 2 forwards here, just because they were the first 2 to come to mind. So my first one is Taylor Radish. And last season might have been considered his breakout year because he had 37 points. And he was, at the end of the season, he was the 2nd-best scorer on the team. So I'll pick him. I think he's due for a big year. It's a contract year for him, so keep it up. Hopefully he keeps that up. And my second one would be Filip Kurashev. I feel like we keep saying this every year, that it's like he's got to be the breakout star. And technically he had a career high in points last year, so kind of similar to Taylor Radish. But again, he's got to, you know, establish some consistency here. He's got to really start showing it. So I'll pick those 2 on offense, because I think they have a good chance to.
Yeah, and speaking of Radish, I think he could potentially be the 3rd guy with Bedard and Hall too, right? So, who knows? We don't know who's going to play with him.
Find out soon.
We'll find out pretty quick. All right, bounce back, guys. Now, there's a few obvious ones, Seth Jones. But Connor, who do you see as a bounce back candidate this season?
It's funny you mentioned his name right there, because Seth Jones. And here's the thing. I mean, he didn't have a terrible season last year. He did put up 37 points, the plus minus. It was a minus 38. So that's kind of ugly. But again, a lot of that was because of the talent that he had around him. And the reason I'm gravitating toward Jones is because I think there's going to be a lot of weight off his shoulders this year in terms of like, okay, not only is Bedard here and he's probably going to be the next captain, but you also bring in Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno, and he is just one of the veterans now as opposed to being the guy. So I think that could maybe help him in that regard. He had a pretty good second half last year, and I think he could surely sustain some of that momentum come this season.
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, I already mentioned his name. So Gail, who do you see as a bounce back? Is it Jones, or do you have someone else?
Okay, he really needs to bounce back. He should have had his make it or break it season last year, in my opinion. Brooke and I don't agree on this. Filip Kurashev needs to step it up.
Yeah, and I mean, again, he's another guy that could potentially play with Bedard, and that would help him.
We're all playing with Bedard.
Everyone plays with Bedard. Brooke, what do you see? Who do you see as a bounce back?
Okay, so I actually will say Peter Mrazek for this one. I actually will go with him for this one. And it's not like the Blackhawks need him to be good. They don't need him, you know, to be Vasilevsky out there next year. But honestly, you can't honestly do worse than an 800 save percentage. So it's more like, I feel like you could only go up from there, right? So, yeah. And honestly, I hope that for him. I hope he has a better season that's more, you know, consistent and not full of injuries for his sake as well. So I'll go with him as someone that could bounce back.
I'm hoping he has a good season. He didn't have very good in Toronto, and now he didn't have a good season in Chicago there too. So I'm hoping he does, because he had a lot of potential in Detroit, yeah. And then he was good in Carolina for a bit. I'm hoping he does have a good season too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move to prospects, and they have a lot of them. They have a lot of very good ones. Gail, who should everyone be watching prospect-wise this season? Now, obviously not everyone's going to be watching Bedard, but outside of guys that are going to be in the NHL.
Yeah, I'm going to have to kind of echo Connor from what he said earlier. I'm really going to have my eye on Alex Vlasic. I think that he is kind of penciled in to be Seth Jones's partner on the top pairing there. It's kind of his spot to lose. So I have my eye on him.
Yeah, definitely. He's again very young, 22 years old. So lots of runway for him still. Brooke, mm-hmm. who do you see as a prospect to watch this season?
I think I said this on one of our last couple of shows, but I'm sorry, I'm going to just keep going with it because it's just the one that keeps popping up to me. Like I said, Colton Dach. Is just the forward I just really had my eye on. It's just, and he's not going to start with the Blackhawks, obviously, when the season starts, but he could make his NHL debut towards the end of the season there. So, but he's someone I have my eye on. I think the Blackhawks are really high on him, and they really hope he shows a lot of good stuff down in Rockford. And that, like I said, he dealt with some injury, he had some bad injury luck, but hopefully he has a really good year. And, you know, and I'm excited about if he makes his NHL debut, I think he could be a factor. I really liked his game with the Seattle Thunderbirds. So mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a one I got my eye on.
Yeah. Of all the different Seattle Thunderbirds, they seem to
yeah,
Korchinski's another one, right?
Yeah.
All right, Connor, finish it off. Who's a prospect that you're watching this season?
Yeah, I like Brooke's answer of Colton Dach. I think more of an under the radar guy who maybe could get some action toward the end of the year. For me, I'm gonna go with Frank Nazar. He didn't really have. It's not that he didn't have a good season, but it was just cut short, I believe, due to injury last year, and now he's going to be fully healthy this year at Michigan. So I think he is such a special player. He's obviously brings a lot of skill and speed, which is something that I know the Hawks are really trying to prioritize. So I think he's due for a really big year, and I'm really excited and hopeful to see him grow this upcoming year, even though he won't be on the team.
Yeah, he's got a lot of potential in the NHL. I think, again, another guy that the Blackhawks got in a first round last draft. So, I mean, he's a guy to watch for sure. I've been watching Oliver Moore because I was surprised that the Blackhawks got him where they did, because I thought he should have been drafted way higher. But, you know, they could have that potential 1-2 punch with Bedard and Moore, and, you know, maybe not right away here. But it's going to be exciting to watch those two being the top two centers in the future. And then you got throw Nazar in there too. Yeah, they've got a pretty good future up there at forward for sure.
You're jealous, Matthew. You're jealous.
Yes.
Matthew writes for the Vancouver Canucks, everybody. So just so you know, we like to look at it.
They've got some potential, but not those types of guys. All right, let's move on to now. This could be easy because we're expecting that Connor Bedard's going to blow away everyone and win the Calder, and you know. But Connor, who do you see leading the forwards in offense in scoring this season and the defense as well?
I think to start with the forwards, it's got to be Connor Bedard. I know that's the obvious choice, but he is just so dynamic and special. And I'm hearing some people say, well, maybe just hold your expectations a little bit just because this team isn't maybe as good as, I don't know, when Crosby came on the Penguins, because he still had I mean, Mario Lemieux was there and he was his mentor. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, but I think he could have a really phenomenal first NHL season. He's done everything he can to prove himself. And then as far as the defensemen go, I'm going to go with Seth Jones. I think, again, he's setting himself up really nicely for a good season, like I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are two great choices. Gail, do you see the same? Is it Connor Bedard and Seth Jones, respectively?
That is actually who I had penciled in as well, Bedard and Jones. It just seems kind of obvious. But who knows? You know, whoever Bedard ends up being 1-2 punch with, you could see that person with assists or whatever, maybe a friendly competition between Bedard and somebody like Athanasiou or Hall, right?
Yeah, for sure. Brooke, what do you see? Same thing? Or do you pick someone else?
Well, yes, I agree with that. But I guess to go a little different here, as a dark horse, I'll pick Lucas Reichel, only because he's kind of started off a little slow last season. But then once he got his footing, it took a bit. But once he did, he became really more consistent. Sure. So, and I think, and we just talked about, he's one to watch as a good bounce back year, really one to watch. So I think he's got the potential to be a pretty close to a point per game player. So I'll go with him. If not, I think he'll be a close second to Bedard, especially if they're playing together.
Yeah.
Obviously they'll help. And for defense, it's hard not to pick anyone but Seth Jones. There's not really anyone on defense that's really capable of putting up a lot of points. So yeah, I can't go really much different there.
Yeah, he'll be on the power play with Bedard. So I'm assuming it's going to be, he's going to get some secondary assists just being there.
Yeah, exactly.
Or primary, I guess, because he'd be passing it to him. First guy, right? So we'll see. Okay, last question. And I love this question because predictions and hot takes are always fun. Gail, bold prediction, hot take for this season.
Well, I already hinted at it earlier. I think that Corey Bieber becomes a fan favorite.
That's definitely a bold prediction because he's been a lot. But I see it happening for sure. Brooke, bold prediction.
Oh, maybe my bold prediction. I'll go goaltending here because I just apparently just love goaltending today. I don't know what it is, but my prediction is that the goaltending will actually be stable. And I say this because we were pretty shocked that Alex Stalock last year was as good as he was. I don't think we had very high hopes for that, and it ended up working out good. So I'll say that the goaltending with Arvid Soderblom especially will be stable.
Yeah, I mean, there's a potential for it. I mean, we'll see. But yeah, that's definitely a bold prediction because it's
not going to be elite, but it might just work.
Be okay. Yeah. All right, Connor, finishing it, a bold prediction for this season.
I'm going to go on the trade front here. I think we see Taylor Radish get traded. He is still in his mid-20s. He had a career season last year, but I think he's someone who a lot of contenders could be calling for if the Blackhawks are out of the playoff race because, like I said, this team is definitely, I think, on paper, much more exciting and watchable with Bedard compared to last season. But it is still going to be a long season, and I think a lot of teams are going to be calling about him just because of his age. I know he is still an RFA, but I think he's the big name who gets dealt at this year's deadline for the Hawks.
And he could fetch a nice return, probably.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely could because he's only 25. He's had last season, he was really good. So, yeah, we'll see. That's an interesting one to watch. All right. I don't know if I asked you guys on the last roundtable, did we predict Connor Bedard's point totals this season?
I think we did.
We did. I'm pretty sure we did because that was an easy one to actually go. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining the season preview show covering the Blackhawks. It's going to be an exciting season, even though not everyone's anticipating them to be good. But just watching Connor Bedard is probably good enough this season.
Well, and just their evolution, right? I mean, just last year, Coach Richardson had them really evolve, and you could see it, and you could see them being better as they went incrementally. And so I'm hoping for a lot more of that this year.
Yeah. And again, they have a headliner. Last season, they didn't really have one. They actually have a guy that will be leading the offense and someone everyone's going to want to watch, which maybe they didn't have last season. I mean, and Pat Kane was there for half the season, so I guess they did have him to watch. Jonathan Taves is still there too, so but not definitely not the guy that has been playing this last bunch of seasons. So, but before we get going, I'll start with you, Connor. Give everyone your social media and where everyone can find your stuff here.
Yeah, you can find me at The Hockey Writers. I do articles weekly, and as far as social media goes, feel free to follow me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, CN_Smith19, I believe.
All right. And Gail, same thing. Where can everyone find you? And yeah.
All right. I love Twitter, and I love talking to people on Twitter. So let's do some Twitter talk this year. At Little Gail K.
All right. Yeah, that's going to be interact throughout the season because very active from what I can see on my feed as well. And Brooke, finishing off with you.
Yeah, so you can find me at thehockeywriters.com. And me and Gail are actually collaborating on a really fun article this week. So stay tuned for that. And you can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Lofo. And if you're watching this, you can see it right here on the screen too.
All right. Well, make sure you're following the Blackhawks team throughout the season. There's going to be lots of stuff talking about Bedard, talking about the different, you know, young guys that are in, even the veterans. I mean, it's going to be interesting to follow where all these guys, how they play, because it's going to be a very interesting year for the Blackhawks in Bedard's first season in the NHL, because everyone's been excited to watch this guy everywhere he's played. So it's not going to be any different in the NHL. So definitely keep an eye out on thehockeywriters.com. Keep, you know, follow the Blackhawks. What is your Twitter? The Blackhawks banter Twitter. There is still that out there, right?
Yes, it's THW Blackhawks.
All right. Well, keep following that as well. There's also going to be Blackhawks banter on audio form throughout the season. I'm assuming you guys will keep doing that. You may see it on the YouTube channel. We haven't fully decided that yet, but definitely going to be roundtables throughout the season, monthly, maybe twice a month. We'll see how it all goes, but this isn't going to be the end. So make sure you're keeping an eye out for that. And yeah, it's going to be fun. So give this video a like. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, make sure you're doing that as well. And there's also a Chicago Blackhawks Substack. If you guys want to subscribe to that, the link will be in the description. That highlights all the Blackhawks articles. I believe it's like at least two times a week that comes to your inbox. So make sure you're subscribed to that as well. And until next time, we'll see you on another episode of the Hockey Writers Roundtable.
Go Hawks!